So today is Mother's Day, and so I will greet you with a pun that was given to me by some friends out in Athens yesterday. Mamaste. Mamaste. So here's a quote from the Chandi, from the Devi Mahatmyam. All mythologies and scriptures are your aspects, O goddess, as are all women in the world with their various attributes. So this says that all women in the world are aspects of the Divine Mother. And this is why Sri Ramakrishna said, we salute all women as the Divine Mother. So all mythologies and scriptures are your aspects, O Devi, as are all women in the world with their various attributes. And here is part of Swami Vivekananda's hymn to the Divine Mother. She who since birth has ever led me on through paths of trouble to perfection's goal. Mother wise, in her own sweet playful ways, she who has always through my life inspired my understanding. She, my mother, she, the all, is my resort, whether my work is blessed with full fruition or with none. What lovely humility in Swami Vivekananda's evocation of the Divine Mother. So we will speak more about the Mother today, but first some announcements. Please do note that there will be a weekend retreat in mid-July. Swami Chandrasekharananda of the Portland, Oregon Center will visit with us on a Saturday and Sunday in July to offer his wisdom on Karma Yoga. The dates and schedule are still to be determined. It will be in mid-July, we know that. They will be announced soon online and in your e-news. So that Janice Johnson, my sister, could participate and help people in deciding what to do in the garden, Save a Saturday for this month is next Saturday, May 18th. Please note that date. It's not the second Saturday of the month as usual. It's the third Saturday. And join us sometime between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Given that the weather permits, there will be lots of wonderful outdoor work to do in the gardens to really make the place shine. This is an excellent way to demonstrate your dedication to the center. Also, I would like to note that the center will be closed in August. No activities except arati. And this will be our routine each summer. We'll be closed in August with no activities except arati. And the arati, that'll be the evening arati, primarily done by devotees. So is there anything else I should have announced that I did not think to mention? All right, we'll open with our regular opening chant, which reminds us of our relationship to the Divine Being and our reason for being here this morning. Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastu, Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. May the Divine Being look over us lovingly as a mother and father. May the divine beings support and nourish us as a mother and father. May we have the strength and skill to study together the art of spirituality. May no misunderstandings arise amongst us. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto us and to all beings everywhere. It being Mother's Day, I will sing a little bit of a song that is sung every time the Chandi is chanted here in English. But this is not in English, as you will see. And for those of you who don't know, Dakshina Kali is the Kali of Dakshineshwar, who was Sri Ramakrishna's chosen ideal, his Ishta Devata, Dakshina Kali. Ma, 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 bole. Ma, 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 bole. Dakshina Kali, Kali, bole, ma. Dakshina Kali, Kali, bole, ma. Ma, 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 bole. Ma, 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 bole. Shri Devi Durga, Durga, bole, ma. Shri Devi Durga, Durga, bole, ma. Ma, 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 bole. Dakshina Kali, Kali, bole, ma. Shri Devi Durga, Durga, bole, ma. Ma, 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 bole. Ma, 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 bole. Sharada Devi, Devi, bole, ma. Sharada Devi, Devi, bole, ma. Ma, 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 bole. Dakshina Kali, Kali, bole, ma. Shri Devi Durga, Durga, bole, ma. Sharada Devi, Devi, bole, ma. Ma, 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 bole. Ma, 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 bole. Sweet Mother Mary, Mary, bole, ma. Sweet Mother Mary, Mary, bole, ma. Ma, 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 bole. Sweet Mother Mary, Shri Devi Durga, Sharada Devi, Dakshina Kali, Dakshina Kali, Dakshina Kali, Kali bole ma. Dakshina Kali, Kali bole ma. Om Amen. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat. As I said, we would talk about the mother this morning. The topic is the non-dualism of Sri Sharada Devi. May is a month for the study of Jnana Yoga, Advaita Vedanta. As a Jnana Yogi, you practice discrimination, reason, detachment, and satyagraha, insistence on truth. This last is very important, satyagraha, insistence on truth. The goal is freedom from limitation, mukti, freedom from all limitation. Our teachers say that life's miseries are caused by seeing inaccurately. An earnest and persistent jnani may break through this misapprehension, called maya, and see only the divine presence everywhere, in everything, and everyone. When we learn to see accurately, rather than inaccurately, when we learn to see accurately, what will we see? Swami Vivekananda said, "Come up, O lions, and shake off the delusion that you are sheep. You are souls immortal, spirits free, blessed and eternal. Ye are not matter, ye are not bodies, matter is your servant, not you the servant of matter. Each of you is only a conduit for the infinite ocean of knowledge and power that lies behind mankind." And as we see in our review of the life of Holy Mother, we'll see that infinite knowledge and power. When we study the life of Sri Sharada Devi, Holy Mother, what do we find most inspiring? She worked almost continuously for others, cooking and serving meals, keeping house, mending clothing, and tenderly looking after her relatives' children. In fact, her daily life was so taken up with these tasks that some people thought of her as nothing more than an ordinary, overworked village woman. So how can we think of her as a conscious non-dualist? In the dead of night, she could be seen counting her beads for hours on end, not for herself, but for her disciples. Then during the day, Holy Mother lovingly conducted worship of Sri Ramakrishna at appointed times. Is this not all dualism? This morning, we'll hear in her own words what Holy Mother said about her life, who she was, and what motivated her. We'll find that her life was continuously lived for us, that she intended her efforts to be an example of love and devotion to the one divine presence that appears in human and other forms. Well and good. Yet how do we see non-dualism in Holy Mother's thoughts and actions? She herself said it was all done as the practice of Sri Ramakrishna's vijnana. I'll repeat that. Holy Mother said everything she did was done as the practice of Sri Ramakrishna's vijnana, his special knowledge. That special knowledge he spoke of in various ways. One was that Nirguna Brahman, Brahman without attributes, the unmanifest, Nirguna Brahman and Saguna Brahman, the manifest reality, Brahman with attributes, Nirguna Brahman and Saguna Brahman, Shiva and Shakti, the unmanifest and the manifest realities are one and the same, identical. One of the master's metaphors was water still and water in waves is the same water. water still, unmanifest, and water in waves, manifestation, the same water. This comports completely with some of the most ancient scriptures. For example, sage Vasishtha speaking to Rama, saying, what you experience as the world is nothing more than a vibration of consciousness. Consciousness in waves. So the first quote that I'll read from Holy Mother, Sri Ramakrishna left me behind to manifest the motherhood of God to the world. To manifest the motherhood of God to the world. Again, she was taking as her practice what the Master said. She was taking as her practice what the Master said, serve Shiva, the unmanifest, as Jiva, the manifest, the human being, and other creatures. So I'll repeat what was said because of the slight interruption. This first quote from Holy Mother. Sri Ramakrishna left me behind to manifest the motherhood of God to the world. As the Master said, to serve Shiva as Jiva. What did Mother mean by the motherhood of God? Again, we'll turn to the Devi Mahatmyam. These are excerpts from the Devi Mahatmyam. That translates as glorification of the great goddess. Devi Mahatmyam, glorification of the great goddess. A collection of 700 verses on Sri Durga from the Markandeya Purana. The Markandeya Purana is one of the major 18 Mahapuranas, a genre of Hindu religious texts, stories, and parables regarded as near scripture. As we listen to these quotes from the Devi Mahatmyam, who is speaking? Brahma is the first god in the Hindu triumvirate, or Trimurti, three forms, the three gods who are responsible for the creation, upkeep, and destruction of the world. These three gods, these three sons of the mother, are her mind-born sons. She created them in order to manifest, sustain, and protect, and destroy the universe. Brahma's job was creation of the world and its creatures. The other two gods are Vishnu and Shiva. Here's what Brahma says about the mother. Now, if you want to go to the notes, you can find the verses here, but I'm not going to read the verse numbers. It won't mean anything in context. I'll just read straight through. But if you go to the notes, you'll find them later online, and you want to find where this is in the Devi Mahatmyam, you will find the verse quotations. Brahma said, you are verily, speaking of the mother, you are verily that which cannot be uttered specifically. You are the power of Brahman made manifest and the supreme mother of the gods, the natural forces. By you this universe is upheld. By you this world is created. By you it is protected, O Devi, and you always consume it at the end. O you who are always of the form of the whole world, at the time of creation you are of the form of the creative force. At the time of sustentation you are of the form of the protective power. And at the time of the dissolution of the world you are of the form of the destructive power. You are the supreme knowledge as well as the great nescience, ignorance. You are the supreme knowledge as well as the great ignorance, the great intellect and contemplation, as also the great delusion, the great goddess, as also the great demon. You are the primordial cause of everything, bringing into force the three qualities, the three gunas. You are the dark night of periodic dissolution. You are the great night of final dissolution and the terrible night of delusion. You are the goddess of good fortune, the ruler. You are modesty, intelligence characterized by knowledge, bashfulness, nourishment, contentment, tranquility, and forbearance. Armed with your celestial weapons, you are terrible, and at the same time you are pleasing, yea, more pleasing than all the pleasing things, and exceedingly beautiful. You are indeed the supreme Ishwari beyond the high and low. In other words, the unmanifest as well as the manifest. This is Advaita, one, only one. And whatever or wherever a thing exists, whatever power all that possesses is yourself. O you who are the soul of everything, O you who are the soul of everything, how can I extol you more than this? Who is here capable of extolling you? Who is capable of praising you? Who have made all of us? Vishnu, myself, and Shiva take our embodied forms. So this is Brahma. This is the mind-born sun responsible for the creation of the universe and of this world, speaking to and of his mother. So from that comprehensive description, we'll move to the specific. From Sri Durga, all that is and ever was, who cannot be spoken of specifically, to Sharada Devi, a very real woman, who shared this world with us until 1920, less than 100 years ago, if you can imagine. Less than 100 years ago, this woman walked. Oftentimes, she walked all the way from her home village in Jairambati to Kolkata and back again. Sometimes in a palanquin, sometimes later on in railroad cars. So this was someone whose presence, if we think about it, if we let our hearts rest on it, we can imagine her. Now, many of the great Swamis, particularly the direct disciples and the disciples of the direct disciples, saw Holy Mother after she left the body in 1920. Swami Prabhavananda saw her at the Vedanta Society of Southern California. In the old temple in San Francisco, Swami Trigunatitananda, this was in the 1930s. This was well after Mother had passed away. Maybe it was the 1920s. Anyway, it was after she had passed away. He would come out to speak in the old temple, and he would get choked up, and tears would begin to roll down his face, because he could see Holy Mother come out of a door at the back of the chapel and sit on a bench at the back. This was his testimony. So we can think of her as very present to us. There is her picture. There are many pictures of her. There are only three of Sri Ramakrishna. There are many pictures of Mother. There's one really lovely one just in the outside the chapel door here, at her home in Jairambati. It's been colored. It was, of course, taken in black and white. But it gives you her living presence. So that we can give some sense from someone who shared his life with her for a time. Here's a meditation on Sri Sharada Devi by Swami Abhedananda. The Swami was a direct disciple of Sri Ramakrishna. He knew and served with Holy Mother for years in India. He lived and taught in the U.S. from 1897 to 1921. Just think of that. Swami Abhedananda, a direct disciple of Sri Ramakrishna, lived and taught in the United States from 1897 continuously to 1921. He was sent here by Swami Vivekananda. Abhedananda actually visited Atlanta twice in 1913 and 1914. What is the significance of this to us? Why remark on it? Because wherever these great ones go, their footprints radiate. They radiate presence. This is a great beneficence on Atlanta. And so we can think that one of the reasons that Atlanta is the city in the South that has a center like this. There are small centers in Raleigh-Durham, St. Petersburg, Austin, and so on. But in the heart of the South, this is the only center. Abhedananda was here from March 3rd to the 10th, 1913. From March 3rd to March 10th, 1913, he spoke to standing room only crowds. His sponsors for that visit were the Atlanta Psychological Society and the Masonic Lodge. He spoke on Hindu psychology at the Unitarian Church. He spoke at the Carnegie Library. He spoke at Cable Hall on reincarnation, Taft Hall on Indian thought and ethics. He returned to Atlanta by popular demand in 1914. He went home to India in 1921 and left the body there in 1939. So I just wanted to give you some sense of who it is that's speaking here. Not only did he know Holy Mother very, very closely, but he had this tremendously deep experience of living out the teachings and principles of both Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother. And so here is his poem. Sri Sharada Devi, the granter of all knowledge, of golden hue, sitting at ease with her hair disheveled, falling on half her breast, dressed in white cloth, adorned with gold ornaments, with two arms and fixed eyes, and her hands resting on her lap, ever having a contented or pleased look, and her heart melting at the miseries of all creatures, full of resplendent light, the effulgent one who ever grants boons and is ever auspicious, whose soul is dedicated to Sri Ramakrishna, who is fond of hearing his name, the embodiment, as it were, of his thoughts, and who is the mother of the universe. Full of affection, the auspicious one, ever calm, the granter of bhakti, devotion, and mukti, liberation, and the protectress of all creatures. Thus should one meditate on her, Devi Sarada, in the lotus of one's heart. So, the Swami, having praised Holy Mother's being, her attributes, who she is to us, his poem ends, thus one should meditate on her, Devi Sarada, in the lotus of one's heart. Why? Because the belief is, and this is a firm belief, and it goes clear back to the Vedas. This is not something new, and it isn't restricted just to the Sanatana Dharma tradition. The picture, that is, any picture, name, form, or name, or sound, are the same as the thing itself. Her picture, a statue, her name, the sound of her name, are the same as herself. So when we hold that in our hearts, she is manifesting there in all her glory, with all her attributes. And we'll see some of the ways now that you can think about her, because she is especially for us who are living in this world. She is there for us. So here's a second quote from Holy Mother. I can't contain myself when one draws near me and calls me mother. I can't contain myself. In other words, she will come forth if you draw near to her and call her by her name, call her mother. Draw near, as I said, picture her name in your mind's eye. When one draws near me and calls me mother, I cannot contain myself. Third quote, to err is human, but how few know how to lead an erring man. By that she meant, go to her. Go to her or to Sri Ramakrishna or to whoever is your Ishtadevata. It is the same divine presence, but if you are drawn to the mother, she knows how to lead you. Go to her. Pour out your heart. What is it that you wish to say to her? She can and will lead you forward. She does not judge you. And if you wish to see the evidence of this, it's there in her life with her disciples. You can see it. You can read of her life and see how she was just endlessly loving and patient, leading people forward. And the belief is that she, just like the other great ones, is just behind the curtain. They have not gone away from us. Fourth quote. If my son wallows in the dust or mud, it is me who have to wipe all the dirt off his body and take him to my lap. If my son wallows in the dust or mud, it is me who has to wipe all the dirt off his body and take him to my lap. What does this mean? What happens when she does this? We call them the miseries of our life. But as she said, properly seen, all our miseries are blessings, because this is her way of cleaning us up, reminding us who we are, and taking us to her lap. We must be, the dust and the dirt must be wiped from us. So we sometimes suffer. We learn from our suffering and are taken on her lap. And then what? This fifth quote, so inspiring. These are her direct words. These are words taken down by her disciples. The injunctions of destiny are canceled if one takes refuge in God. Destiny has to strike off with her own hand what she has declared about such a person. This is talking about your karma. This is talking about what is in the record, so to speak, in the karmic record, in the Akasha, about what your behavior, your thoughts, your actions have earned you. If you take refuge in God, destiny has to strike off with her own hand what she has declared about you. Now, is this a new promise, my mother? No, any of us who are familiar with the Gita will know this from Sri Krishna speaking in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, though a man be soiled with the sins of a lifetime, let him but love me, rightly resolved, in utter devotion. I see no sinner. That man is holy. holiness shall soon refashion his nature to peace eternal. Notice the word soon. Now, we're eons old, so soon may not mean one day, like Scrooge in the story of A Christmas Carol. But it means soon. And there's even now, the scientists are learning to describe what it means, what it actually means, that holiness refashions your nature. When you are in the presence of holiness, your body transforms. When you bring yourself into the presence of holiness, your body itself transforms. And so people like Saint Teresa of Avila could be found floating on the ceiling. Her body was no longer corporeal. It was no longer the stuff of which you and I are made. It was something much finer. And so her sisters would come into her room and say, "Oh, there she's done it again," and take her by her garments and pull her down from the ceiling and chant Jesus' name in her ear until she regained her normal consciousness. I'm not asking you to believe this. I'm simply asking you to take it into consideration. There are in the records these things, and as Swami Vivekananda says in his introduction to Raja Yoga, do not set these things aside because you don't understand them. Hold your doubt. Hold your doubt in abeyance. And go forward in spiritual life and see if you don't come to some greater understanding of the possibility of these things. Sixth quote from the Holy Mother, and this is so very relevant to those of us who are intellectual by nature. We look here and there, we poke all around in the forest for light. Holy Mother says, "Don't puzzle the mind with too many inquiries. One finds it difficult to put one single thing into practice, but dares invite distraction by filling the mind with too many things. One finds it difficult to put one single thing into practice, but dares invite distraction by filling the mind with too many things." If you look to the instructions that follow this comment by her, it can be summarized this way. Focus your efforts on the spiritual practice given to you by your teacher. Trust in those instructions and the love of your guru, the love of your teacher. You were given instructions, perhaps a mantra. Trust in all that. Focus on that, rather than peeping here and there for various other. We have, particularly those of us who are impatient by nature and are intellectual by nature, we keep looking for the magic bullet, that one phrase, that one something that will make it all come clear. No, that's not the nature of Maya. That's not the nature of ignorance. It's layer after layer. Did somebody lay those layers on us? No, we laid them on ourselves. If we buy the idea of reincarnation, lifetime after lifetime, we've built up this structure of memory and perception and feeling that results in the thoughts that we have. And the thoughts are inaccurate. They cause us to see inaccurately. So we need to practice the instructions given to us by a teacher who says, if you do this, these layers will slowly and slowly be removed. And the truth, which is self-evident and ever-existing and is within you, as Swami Vivekananda said, religion is nothing more than the manifestation of the divinity already within. So focus your efforts on the spiritual practice given to you by your teacher. Trust those instructions and the love of your teacher. Some final quotes from Sri Sharada Devi. Love is our strength. It is through love that the Master's family has taken shape. Here it is. It is through love that the Master's family has taken shape. Do not be afraid. The Master is behind you, and I am too, as your mother. And that did not end in 1920 after she left the body. She meant these words to ring true for us today. Love is our strength. It is through love that the Master's family has taken shape. Do not be afraid. The Master is behind you, and I am too, as your mother. I am the mother of the virtuous. I am the mother of the wicked. Whenever you are in distress, say to yourself, I have a mother. My child, I bless you from my heart that you live long, attain devotion, and enjoy peace. Peace is the principal thing. One needs peace alone. My child, I bless you from my heart that you live long, attain devotion, and enjoy peace. Peace is the principal thing. One needs peace alone. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace. Peace be unto us and to all beings everywhere. Well, when it was 11 o'clock, the hall was almost empty. There were only half a dozen of us, and now there are many. Isn't that wonderful? So glad you came this morning. Now is the best part of this meeting this morning. When we talk among one another, when we ask questions, when we make comments, when we share who we are and what all this means to us. So please, any thoughts, any questions? Be bold. Yes, Aditya.
So, Brother, I was thinking of other things also that Mother said. And one of the things that comes to my mind is that she says that so there is difference between the word ma or matri and janani in Sanskrit. Mm-hmm. So janani would literally mean the giver of birth. So one could be fostering you and could be your mother. But Ma Sharada said that I am not only everybody's mother, but I am their janani. So they have been born from me.
Right. And this she said in these explicit terms also to Girish Ghosh.
Yeah.
When he came to her and was shocked to see, because he'd only seen her with veil. When he went to Jairambati, he saw her without the veil, and he knew her. And he said, you're the one who came and saved me from illness when I was young. You're the one, you're this. And she said, yes, yes. And she said, I am your real mother, not your just your guru's wife,
yeah.
Not just some idea of mother. I am your real mother. Thank you, Aditya. That's just right. She gives birth to us through the instrumentality of these attributes that are mentioned in the Devi Mahatmya. All women are your aspects of Devi. Anyone else? Yes.
Utkarsh. My name is Utkarsh.
Yes.
I have just moved to Atlanta from Pittsburgh. Ah. I was very active in, I don't know if you know Smita.
Oh, yes, very well.
Kunal Ghosh.
Yes.
So I was very active in that part. And I know Harshal also. So
good,
Harshal told me about this.
Good.
That we do on Sunday, so I have come for
that. Welcome, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. But I, the point you spoke about intellectual people, right, and what Shardama said about the questioning the things, right, that too many things come to your mind. But I mean, I'm of the perspective and the way I've been born and brought up, from my family perspective, my both parents are professors, they asked us to question everything. Without questioning, nothing can be understood. At the same time, even Vivekananda many times has said when he came here, that speeches he gave in US and the speeches he gave back in India are different. Because he said that our people are more tamasic in nature, and I understand that. So I want them to move to the rajas, to make sure that they first do the karma in strongly, mm-hmm. and then talk about sattva.
Mm-hmm.
So from his perspective, he says, unless and until you question and you actually do the karma yoga, everything else from your tamasic nature, you can go into those love or compassion and all that, but that's very natural, which comes, right? Because you are seeking something, and most of the people seek love and compassion because they have suffered this or suffered that. But from my perspective, I am a non-theist, very practically, I would say, and I have an explanation of that. But rather going into that part, my thing is, I have come to Vivekananda, I've read him time and time again in the last 7 years, and one of the greatest warriors from my perspective ever to walk on this earth. And from his point of view, without questioning, accepting anything is like a blind faith. And so I wanted to understand that aspect, that when intellectual people question, that should not be considered that they are asking too many things, or they are getting involved into too many things, which will only harm them. No, most of the times younger generation must be told to definitely question till the end they understand what they are seeking. Only then that's the next step.
Here's my invitation to you. Find a very quiet place. Sit calmly mm-hmm. and invite Sri Sharada Devi and mm-hmm. Swami Vivekananda to join you
mm-hmm.
and explain. Sri Ramakrishna said, come close to the neighborhood of God. And all of these seeming contradictions mm-hmm. and paradoxes come clear to you. Mm-hmm. Sri Sharada Devi was warning against trying to puzzle over too many things mm-hmm. and to focus on the practice that your guru gives you. But all of what you said is true. Undeniably true. So, as I say, my invitation to you is to find a quiet place mm-hmm. and more than once invite the presence of Sri Sharada Devi and Swami Vivekananda and let them explain to you. Because their promises, both of them, their promises that they will. If you open your heart to them in this way, if you open your mind to them, they will explain to you, to make it clear to you personally. So I'm not going to try to resolve this.
But I didn't mean to, I was just explaining that point. All is understood.
Everything you understood and affirmed.
Sometimes, and this might be awkward to people, but sometimes I talk to him, Vivekananda. He and I talk when I meditate. He comes to me sometimes and he has told me. I never wanted to go to the Pittsburgh Meditation Center, Vedanta Center. And when I went there, I had arguments with people because I spoke about things. And now all of them are my loving friends. All of them know me, Hari Bhai, everybody, they love me. So, but I was the guy who was questioning guy, guy who questions.
Mm-hmm.
And all Ma and everybody loves me out there. But initially there was time when I had kind of a different discussion with people and arguments, and then Vivekananda came to me and he said, you think about yourself as barrier, but where is your compassion? Go back and make yourself more loving and compassionate to the people. You will grow as well. And then I went well in the last, and now 2.5 years, I am one of the core members of their team. So.
Well, I think Vivekananda's advice can hardly be questioned, can
it? Right.
So, and blessed you are to have this. Now, I invite you to have Sarada Devi join the conversation. You know Swamiji's attitude toward Sarada Devi. He could not be pure enough. In his own estimation, he could not be pure enough to be in her presence. So, this is if you invite that, then I think some of these concerns can be resolved. Wonderful. Thank you. Anyone else?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Thank you. Sir, you mentioned at one point that if one, your Atman becomes one with the Brahman, like the destiny with its own hand, it will strike off the balance of karma.
Yes. That's what Mother said.
Mother said, yeah. I'm not questioning anything. Our actions affect others.
Yes.
So when we do karma, our actions affect others.
Yes.
In a good way or a bad way.
Or mixed.
Mixed. In a good way or a bad way or mixed, yes. So later on that person, if he has realization and then his Atman becomes one with the Brahman and his balance of karma is struck off, then what will happen to those people who got affected by our actions?
This is above my paycheck, dear. I don't know the answer to your question, but let's be clear about what Mother said. You do not have to achieve realization. You have to only take refuge in God. This is what she said. This is what Krishna said. It is not realization that, of course, realization erases everything. Well, Shankaracharya says there's a little prarabdha left, and so the body experiences that prarabdha. But the residue of the karma, of what you've left behind as you achieve realization, I don't remember any scripture that addresses this. If you do, please share it with us. Even Vivekananda said, karma is too mysterious for us to understand. So, this is one of those things that I would take into meditation. As Sri Ramakrishna said, all of these difficulties, paradoxes, controversies, concerns, resolve themselves when you come into the neighborhood of God. And he didn't say, you have to have nirvikalpa for them to all be resolved. No. He said, go, have knowledge of God. Go closer, go closer, go closer. There, he described the seven gates and so on. So let us make the effort. What does Sri Ramakrishna say? Yearn for understanding, yearn for the truth. Weep tears as you would weep tears for anything else that you truly yearn for. He said people weep jugs of tears for wealth, for name and fame, for family. Who weeps for God? And he says, I have done the full 16 anas. You have only to do 1/16. You have only to do one ana. Now that translates, if you just do the math, that translates, if you take 24 hours a day, because he was present in the divine presence 24 hours a day. If we do 1/16, that's an hour and a half. If we want to have some definition. So do an hour and a half of spiritual practice a day and observe the wonders that will take place over 2 years and how these things will resolve themselves. We must not be deceived by thinking that we have to climb the hill all at once. We have to jump from here to there. We'll leave that to Hanuman, who can truly take Rama's name. No. We go slowly and slowly. This was one of the favorite phrases of Swami Sridharananda. Slowly and slowly, my dear. But if we stop and think how short a human life is, if we even go slowly and slowly through 5 years, 10 years, 40 years, what will be achieved? Wonders. Truly wonders. All of us who've been in this life for some time have seen it happen to people. Have seen them change. Have seen them become more and more peaceful. More and more saintly. More and more loving and compassionate. Why? They have changed. And it's impossible not to be someone else in their presence than who you knew them as when you first got to know them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else? This is wonderful. Yes, dear.
I learned through life that compassion is very contagious.
Yes.
It does stick to others. You don't have to say it, and you just show it, like the friend Saint Francis said.
Right.
When it is hatred, let me so love, send love in hearts.
Right.
It gets contagious, and people do change over time.
Yes.
It's a slow journey for some people.
Yes, well, for us all.
Uh-huh. For most of us.
But, you know, we think slow. If we buy the premise of reincarnation, we are eons old. We are eons old. So what is represented sitting here right now is the sum total of all of that. There, 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 the sum total of those eons. Do we think that we're going to change those eons overnight? The results of those eons? This isn't what Vivekananda says. It's not what Nisargadatta Maharaj says. It's not what Ramana Maharshi says. It's not what Krishna says. But he says, if you turn to me, rightly resolved, with utter devotion, holiness itself shall transform you. We can't put a timeline on that. But utter devotion, that's not won overnight. The yearning for it, the love of it, can be appear overnight. But then to change the actual way of being that we are from moment to moment takes time. Anyone else? This is good. Thank you. Yes, please.
Also, when there is a question in your mind, that you question others are not in meditation, you find your answers.
Mm-hmm.
Going in yourself.
Yes.
The answer is right there. Where there is a question, there is an answer.
Yes.
It takes some time, some soul searching to find that answer. I think through meditation, it's been possible.
Yes. But the thing, when we go within,
exactly.
This is the thing to remember. Swami Brahmananda said, we have the key to the treasure box. It's within us. We have the key to the treasure box. But people come to us for potatoes, eggplants, and onions.
People come to us?
For potatoes, eggplants, and onions. Things of the world. People would come to Brahmananda and ask that he use his spiritual power to help their child get college admission. A good job. Solve some financial issues. None of this is wrong. It's just not optimum. It's just not optimum. Thank you, dear. You're right. Anyone else? All right. As Mother said, the essential ingredient is peace. Our closing prayer addresses that directly. This wonderful translation of this ancient prayer is by the man who founded this place, Swami Yogeshananda. Let there be peace in outer space.
Let there be peace in
the sky, on the earth, and in the waters. Let there be peace in the herbs, the plants, and the trees. May the gods be peaceful. May the whole universe be pervaded by peace. Let this infinite universal peace prevail throughout my being. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace be unto us and to all beings everywhere. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. So once again, thank you for coming on this Mother's Day. I think we got a peep at least into the splendor of the Mother, both in her universal form and as condensed into this incarnation of Saraswati, is what Sri Ramakrishna said of Sri Sharada Devi. But she says to us, I am your mother. Remember, you have a mother. And to whom can you pour out your heart? To whom can you ask anything? Of whom can you ask anything? And Sri Ramakrishna says, go to her. You know, if you want spiritual advice, you know, if you want, come to me. I have the cure. But anything else, he said, go to her. And that includes spiritual advice at all, too. They are not two beings. They're one being in two forms, two faces. But we have a special feeling about our mother. So let us have that special feeling for Sri Sharada Devi. And happy Mother's Day. Some of you weren't here to hear the wonderful pun that was given to me by some friends in Athens yesterday. On this day, we say to you, Mamaste. Mamaste. All right. So we have wonderful snacks and tea and coffee and so on inside. Please join us there, and we'll continue our conversation.